Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess. I'm here again with Noah Chan.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Good to be here.
How's your week been?
It's been great. It's been really good. Good checkup on Benjamin. Working on a lot of stuff for our family, like B-Love. And so just great. Good week. Yeah. Got back from Cincinnati, Ohio. I was up there the weekend before, and so that was a fun trip.
Nice.
Yeah.
We had a sickness, stomach stuff.
Yes.
Really just me and Izzy, though. It was weird because she had it, and then it was like 5 days later I got
right.
it. So I was like, oh, man, we're all in the clear.
Sure.
And then Saturday came.
And it just...
Yeah. And it was one of those things where I didn't feel nauseous. We were with my family. We were all together, and it was about 8:30 at this point at night. I didn't feel nauseous. I ate dinner. I felt fine, but I told Katie, I was like, hey, I was like, I don't feel sick, but something's coming.
Yeah.
Something is happening deep within me.
Yeah.
Like, we need to go ahead and head out.
Right.
And sure enough.
Yeah, it happened.
A couple hours later, boom.
I mean, yeah, it's weird. I don't normally get that. That's like a luxury. Like when I'm sick, it just comes upon me.
Yeah.
It's like the Christmas song, it came upon a midnight clear. It just happens upon me. I wake up and I'm like, what's, I never like go to bed sick. I've always woken up sick.
And that's worse.
It is.
That's awful.
Yeah. I've never like been like, I need to go to sleep. I think I'm getting sick. It's like, I wake up and I'm like, I'm in the middle of it.
Yeah. You're in the bathroom by the time you even become conscious of what's going on.
And it normally comes like once a year. I normally get sick one time a year. And it's like if the full force of sickness hits me that one time, and then I'm fine. It happened already this year, so I should be cleared through December.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And I'm bummed. My appetite's not like fully back.
Sure.
I feel fine, but I just like...
Yeah. And you're people wouldn't know it because your size, but you're a foodie.
I am. I love food.
Uh-huh.
Love food.
Uh-huh. Your spiritual man's real fat.
Last night Katie made for the first time, like a sourdough focaccia bread.
Nice.
Like a rosemary garlic.
Yeah, right.
And this morning I used it to make a breakfast sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I ate it. And I wasn't like hungry.
Yeah, and you knew you weren't enjoying it the way you'd like to.
The way I like to. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was one of the best breakfast sandwiches I've ever made.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Real quick before we jump in. You've got a new Bible there.
I do. I do, yes.
It's probably the nicest Bible I've ever felt in my hands.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is, it's called Annalyn Calfskin.
Okay.
So I don't even think they even let them calves get 2 months old before they peel the skin off of those bad boys. I don't understand that. I understand that it is calfskin. I don't get... If they are or aren't killing the animals.
Right.
When you feel it, it doesn't matter. That's kind of at the back of your brain. But yeah, this is, there are two predominantly, well, it's called premium Bible brands in the world. R.A. Allen is one, and the other one is called Skylar. And this is kind of like when you're, do what I do, like the most important thing you can have is a Bible.
Sure.
And so I've wanted a premium Bible for a long time, and finding the right one, right color. People don't like think about the internals of their Bible, how things are designed and set up. I think about it a lot because I read the Bible a lot. And so this is designed, set up the exact way I want it. It was handmade, handcrafted, and it is perfection from start to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super nice. I didn't know that I wanted a premium Bible.
And so you felt this one.
I saw and felt that
one. This is one of those that like you throw in the air and like yell repent with, you know, like repent, you know. It's nice. I love it. And there's a The end of Bibles, most people wouldn't know this, are called yaps. And this is what they is designed as a full yap. So if you'll notice, it actually goes way over the Bible to protect the pages.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's my, it's if Benjamin wasn't here, this would be the most important thing in my life. Just when I open it, it feels like, oh, wow. You know what it's, I know this is going to sound nerdy, but you know when you get a new car for the first time, like the first couple times you get in it, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's what it's like reading this bad boy.
Yeah.
Still got that new Bible smell.
It does.
And you know, the pages are kind of sticky still, and you got to, you know, disconnect some. Even the maps look better in this Bible, which I know is lame, but it's real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was hard to find the specifics I was looking for, and this kind of had, from the external to the internal, had everything I'm wanting in a lifelong Bible. So they're expensive, but they're, it's that calfskin, man.
That's the kind of Bible, though, you'd want to, like, hand down to, like, Benjamin,
right.
You know?
Yeah, this is the one that, you like know, you hopefully, hope would be his. Yes. My great-great-great-grandson gets one day, if they have Bibles.
Yep.
By then, who knows?
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's jump in. You actually were sharing some thoughts. You had some things that you were wanting to start speaking on or talking about in the podcast.
Yeah. So we started a new series, a new teaching set this past Sunday called basically the concept is the idea of what type of family will we be known as.
Right.
And I think like from an intro perspective, one of the things you think about as a like a father of a house, as a senior pastor, whatever you want to call it, is if someone were to peek behind the blinders in the door and define your family, who they are, their attributes, what are the things you would hope that they would say about them? What are the things that we as a church want to be known as? Because at the end of the day, like, there's this often misconception that, like, a kingdom family or a church is like, the pastor is this, so the church is like this. But the really, it's the body that makes up the DNA. Mm. He leads that, and he tries to set the vision for what it will become. But even if people don't listen to that, it's going to become what it's going to become based off the people.
Sure.
You know, like, there's nothing worse than when you, someone's driving down the road, and they flip you off, and then they've got a sticker for your church on the back of their window. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it happens.
Yeah.
But, like, so you want to begin to go, okay, like, what type of family do we want to be known as externally?
Right.
It matters internally. Mm-hmm. And the process of how we become what we want to be in our vision to be matters. But and normally you would start from those things, but I really felt to start backwards of how would I want us to be seen externally. And the four things that we're going to be talking about, we talked about one yesterday, is a company of prayer, a house of worship, equipped sons and daughters, and then foundationally family. And so these are four things that I would hope that people outside would see in Belove and say, like, man, this is like a company of people who pray.
Yeah.
Everything they do by the order of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of where we've started because I think Acts 2:42, we talk about Acts 2:42-48, and that's kind of a lot of the framework for communities. It's a lot of the framework we use for our church as a whole, kind of every piece of our ministries. We use these Acts 2:42-48 as kind of the blueprint model. And Acts 2:42 opens up with the statement that they were dedicated, and it says they were dedicated to three things. It's broken down like this. They're dedicated to the teachings of the apostles. They were dedicated to fellowship and the breaking of bread. And they were dedicated to the prayers. They say prayers because liturgy, obviously, and they had different, like, specific prayers they would say. But really, it's broken down into this idea that the Acts church was dedicated to the teachings of the apostles, which is discipleship and equipping. They were dedicated to fellowship and the breaking of bread, which is the Eucharist and community and family. And they were dedicated to a life of prayer. And these three things kind of build the framework of who the Acts Church will become over the next you know, while here, and build out kind of the church model that a lot of that Paul will use with the Gentiles, and kind of build out what the church is built around. And so when we look at our church, or when we look at churches, do we see that framework?
Right.
You know, because I would say, and we talk a lot about like mega churches or mega church culture. And this is something I've been working on with the staff. You can have a big church or a mega church, whatever word you want to use, and it actually not have that culture.
Right.
There's a culture and then there's a people group. And so when we think about our church, our kingdom family, and we think about other churches, what model do we see them modeling with their community? And do we align that with scripture well? And do we see what they're doing as growing people? And that's what I really want us to examine for us, ourselves as a family.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So beginning with prayer.
Yeah. Company of prayer.
Yeah.
Company of prayer. I think there's a misconception that prayer is only personal. That I pray for my stuff and now you pray for your stuff.
Yeah.
So in my life, I only pray for Noah. I only pray for Bailey. I only pray for, you know what I mean? And the lie is that that's not real.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Right.
Like, hopefully everyone has set time to pray for everything in their lives. And for me, like, I hope that's Be Love. Like, I hope every person that calls us home has time in their day to pray for our church, our leaders, our staff, our vision, like, all, like daily, not weekly, daily. You know what I mean? Like, I have a daily prayer list, and I pray for, you know, I pray for, like, my family, me and Bailey's lives, everything. I have all the staff's names on there. I have all their spouses. I have all their kids. I have, you know, our staff as a whole. I have our church as a whole. Like, I have everyone on there. And I pray for people individually and their families. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for you and Katie and your children. And I pray for Braden and I pray for Angela and I pray for their children. And I, you know what I mean? And I include my family in my prayers because it's also now my responsibility because we're family.
Sure.
And do we value and see our place in our church as this is my thing too? And so I pray for it.
Right.
I pray for its success. I pray for its health. I pray for its wellness. I pray for its growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do I see my my equity?
Right. And I imagine that is, I wonder if maybe that is a stumbling point for some people, is coming over the hump of not believing or not thinking that they really have a bigger part or play a bigger role in the big picture of what our church is.
Yeah.
And like you said, like that we have equity, you know, does everybody who calls Beloved home, do they consider it like their, not just the church they go to, but like it's theirs?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, I think too, we have a perversion that we associate equity with authority.
Sure.
And equity does not always mean authority.
Right.
Like, really, at the end of the day, Nora has no authority in your house.
Right.
But if Nora passed away or something happened, the hole that would leave in your home.
Right.
Because she is a vital piece of the existence and the model of your house.
Right.
She has equity in your home.
Mm-hmm.
She can't tell you what to do. And so most people, when they think about equity, they think, well, I need a place of a voice of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always true. But it doesn't mean you're not valuable in a piece of what's going on here.
Right.
You know, Paul makes that Paul uses that scripture in Romans. He says, I think it's Romans 12. He says, assess yourself honestly.
Yeah.
You know, then he goes through the grace gifts. You know, if you have the gift of finances, give. If you have the gift of healing, you know, or prophecy, you know, prophesy. If you have the gift of leadership, lead. He goes through all these gifts. And the idea is like, hey, like assess yourself where you are. He talks about the church is made up like a body. So assess what you're designed to be here.
Yeah.
And be that, because without you, it's not fully it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not always authority. And I think when people don't feel like they have any authority, they go, okay, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just like a lay member. Right. I just kind of am just here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's not actually true. Mm-hmm. And we have to get out of our obsession with leadership to realize that we play a role.
Yeah.
Like B-Love will move and go at the ability to adapt vision, pray for our church, and be the family we're designed to be as a whole, mm-hmm. not just me or not just us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think when you were talking about Paul saying to assess yourself honestly, I had a thought that I think there are probably two errors that people tend to make in that. On the one hand, I think there may be a tendency or a temptation for people to not assess themselves honestly, but to wish that they were something different.
Yes. Yeah.
And in doing so, undervaluing the gifts that they actually have
sure.
and the gifts that they are.
Sure.
Because I know you and I have had conversations about this, but like I never ever thought that B-Love would or should be like mine to run. Right.
Right.
And so,
thank God.
And so,
go ahead.
But I think it could have been easy for me if I wasn't a really thoughtful and intentional person. It could have been easy for me to start to entertain thoughts of like, oh, it should be me leading this thing. It should be, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. But the thing is, I'm older than Noah. I've technically been on staff here longer. Like all these different things could fill your head real fast.
If I was that kind of person, I could mm-hmm. entertain some thoughts and I could start to justify, you know, their existence.
Yes.
But the thing is, if I'm not honestly, and that this is where the honest assessment comes in. If I am not honestly meant to run this church, if I was put in that position, it wouldn't be best for anybody.
Right.
It wouldn't be best for me. It wouldn't right. be best for the people.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And so on one hand, I think people fail to assess themselves honestly by wishing they were something that they aren't. But I think on the other hand, maybe the mistake people make sometimes is assuming that what they have to offer isn't valuable.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's not equal to what someone else has.
Right.
And yeah, they have to be taught correctly.
Right.
Because like the reality is like if Benjamin grows up and he sucks at teaching mm-hmm. and he sucks at leading people and he's not kind, you know what I mean? Like all these things, like he's weird, gets up on stage, doesn't really know what to do. I love him to death. He's never going to take over for me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like just because yeah. you're my son has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You've got to be equipped to be that person.
Right.
And you know, there's a place of insecurity that goes, well, I'm not this or I'm not Crystal, so I don't do the prophetic. I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, you know, like, because like there's some days where it's like, well, I'm not like anointed, so I don't get to like preach. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, but like sometimes I wish I had the gift of finances, like Paul said, and I was just a rich person giving the money so everyone could do everything.
Right.
That wouldn't be a bad gift thing. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we have people in our church who have been extremely blessed financially, and they understand that a part of their role and their gifting is actually because they've been blessed to be financial stewards of the kingdom, like they give.
Right.
And it's like we can get caught up in the game of who's who, mm-hmm. or we can live in the strengths of, because too, I think in the strengths of who I am is also found happiness.
Yeah.
If I'll live in who I'm designed to be.
Right. And you've mentioned this too, that joy is connected to purpose in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And so
yep.
if I'm unwilling, maybe first unable or unwilling to recognize what I have to offer, what gifts the Lord has actually placed in me and what I have
right.
to offer the body.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm unable or unwilling to identify that.
Right.
Then it comes to the detriment of everybody, not
yes.
just me, but you know, the gifts are put in us for the sake of the people around us.
Yeah. To equip the saints. To,
right.
All of it is about that.
Yeah.
Not only the fivefold, but the giftings of people.
Yeah.
And I think too, like I have, you know, really good news for people that if you're questioning what your gift is, everyone's gift is to pray for their church. I have great news. I have breaking news for you that everyone's
yeah.
responsibility is to pray for their church.
Yeah,
it is. Like at the end of the day, like if you're not actively, and if it's not daily, I get it. But if you're not spending some time during your week saying, Lord, like I pray over my church, I pray over their leadership, I pray you bless our house, I pray you bring favor to our house, I pray that you, mm-hmm. you know, let the Spirit move in here, that you anoint what we're doing, that you bring us into truth and clarity, like all these different things. Like if these aren't a part mm-hmm. of your prayers, like why are you here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why are you here? Like everyone is foaming at the mouth often to offer critique. Very few people go to the throne room to pray.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I can count on, I need 40 hands and toes for every critique or mm-hmm. piece of advice. But like, do you ever go to the Father and say like, bless what we're doing?
Right.
Bless my leader.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see truth. Let them see what yeah. this is designed to be. Like,
right.
let them walk in the reality of this. Like, do I actively pray?
Right.
And not pray from a place of selfish ambition. Like, Lord, let them please stop doing worship for 45 minutes. You know, like not from selfish ambition, but do I actually pray
yeah.
to advance what they're doing, what our house is doing? Because that's everyone's responsibility.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I love that. And that's something the Lord has brought me into in the past, is it's easy to pray for the things that you want to be made manifest.
Yeah.
But then I'm undermining the possibility that what I want might actually not be the right thing.
Right.
Or the best thing.
Yeah.
And so rather than that, I've begun praying those types of prayers. Lord, let the leadership see and walk in truth.
Yes.
Let them see and walk in, you know, the reality of your kingdom.
Right.
And let, you know.
Right. Yeah. I want to be the church that the Father wants us to be.
Right.
I really could care less about Noah's vision.
Yeah.
Because whatever, here's the reality. Whatever things from a vision and leadership perspective that I set up mm-hmm. and do, if it's not of the Lord, I'll have to maintain out of my own effort.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to do that for anybody.
Right.
And I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be the house that, you know, Yahweh's designed us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing less, nothing more. I want to do that thing.
Right.
And I want to do that thing well. And it's prayer that leads me to that, because if out of my own ambition, I say, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, then I may have to maintain that. You know what I mean? And I don't yeah. want to do that. I want him to bless and be led by his mm. his. Oftentimes, I think we really struggle with, well, when news hits that a minister has failed, especially morally,
mm-hmm.
it hits hard.
Yeah.
Especially people sometimes we've listened to our whole lives.
Right.
And oftentimes, I believe what takes place is that people oftentimes outgrow their capacity of leadership through their own self-effort.
Yeah.
And so say Noah's designed to lead 5,000 people, and that's the maximum capacity for that fella.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there and I'm hungry. So I go find all the great marketing techniques of the world and I bring it to 15,000 people.
Right.
Well, now I've started something that I've got to maintain 10,000 people myself
mm-hmm.
because 5,000 was my capacity.
You're not graced for that.
I'm not graced for that.
Yeah.
And now the reality becomes oftentimes I will suck so much of myself out that I need some type of comfort, and that often leads to sin.
Yeah.
And so prayer is the engine of correct design, intent, and capacity and ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, as prayerful people, hopefully we're always praying into everything. Our businesses are this, are that. Like, many people want to start something, but they need to understand that they have a capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do and how you do it needs to be dependent upon the capacity within you. And if you let the Lord lead you through prayer,
mm-hmm.
he'll lead you into your capacity.
Yeah.
And that matters.
I remember years ago, somebody had told me, they were like, hey, I was listening to this guy. And honestly, I don't remember who they were listening to, but they were like, I was listening to this guy and he was talking about how he prays for his finances. And his prayer every day to the Lord is, Lord, let me have exactly what it is that you need me to have not a cent more, not a cent less.
Yes.
And I remember hearing that and initially thinking, well, I hate that.
Yeah. that's a terrifying prayer.
And initially, like, I'll be honest, in my heart, I was like, I would never pray that.
No.
But now I've come to a point where I realize, like, who am I to say that
right.
what he would have me have
right.
at any given moment
right.
is not, you know, and we could take a whole rabbit trail down that path.
You which could.
We won't right now.
And it's, but, and everyone has capacity. Paul is doing everything he can to get, like, way over here.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to go a totally different direction than the Lord's letting him. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
To the point where he literally, like, transports him somehow, like,
yeah.
you know, through space to another place to be like, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
Everyone has their place, their capacity, and their means and their way.
Yeah.
And oftentimes what happens is we want to use self-effort to outgrow that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you can't grow, but you need to grow at the pace that the Father has for you to grow into what you're designed for.
Right.
And that is like that's why prayer is the wagon of existence, man. It's the engine of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said this Sunday, and I know I say it all the time, and I just don't think people get it. If scripture says that Jesus often withdrew to pray, and prayer was the strength of the ministry of the Son of God, where are we to think that daily prayer is not the most valuable aspect of my existence?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus prayed all the time.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? What are we thinking?
Do you think that people sometimes subconsciously settle into, like, a thought process of, like, well, he kind of did that for me?
Right. Yeah, you know, for sure.
He kind of did.
He went into the lonely places to pray, so I don't have to pray. Yeah, I think that's a major piece of it. I think there's a piece of well, like, and I think the other problem is too, is people, and the disciples had this problem. They asked Jesus, but people don't know how to pray. And I think too,
sure.
if the church, especially like our more like evangelical side, if we could get back to not being so uncomfortable with liturgy, I think that would help our prayer lives a lot. Like, I
sure.
have actively written prayers that I pray.
Yeah.
Not like in like a Holy Spirit trance.
Yep.
Like, I've sat down and thought, I want to start praying for this, and I'll write a prayer,
mm-hmm.
and I'll pray that. And that's no less holy
right.
than your spontaneous prayer. Mm-hmm. Same thing with worship.
Yeah.
Spontaneous prayer is not more holy, or spontaneous worship is not more holy than worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different form of worship.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that you're more spiritual now because you can come up with lyrics on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Lil Wayne's made a career out of that as a rapper. Like, people can do that without the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? But so, like, it doesn't make you more holy. It's just a different form.
Yeah.
And spontaneous prayer is great, but mm-hmm. also well-crafted prayer is great.
Yeah.
Same thing with Graham Cook. Graham Cook, predominantly, all his prophetic is crafted prophecy. He sits down, he writes it out, he fixes words, he works through it.
Sure.
It's not less prophetic.
Sure.
It's not. And so I think we need to get out of that prayer is only this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer is a lot wider than what we think it is. There's different types of prayer. I did a series, Spirit of the Disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's on prayer and the different types of prayer that we have right. access to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making my boys on Wednesday night go through contemplative prayer.
Yeah.
And great. Like, you know, Brody, one of them has been like, dude, this is... it's changing my life.
Yeah.
You know, because it takes the effort off of you to have to say something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk all the time.
Yep.
He doesn't need you to talk constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a place where prayer is the biggest engine of your spiritual life. And like, I hope we are seen as a company of prayer.
Right.
A people group who, you know, we talk about the definition of companies, a people group who war together and feast together.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be a company who is built upon the basis of prayer for everything that we are and do.
Yeah.
We pray for our church. We pray for our ministries. We pray for our families. We pray for the people around us. We pray for our community. We pray for our finances. We pray for the church's finances. We pray for to be anointed. We pray that the church do what it's designed to do, like all these different things, and that we move in that way.
Yeah. Let's take a really quick break, and then we'll hop right back in.
Sounds good.
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place, your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer, not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Ballastieri at 770-548-0902.
So you mentioned there are a few different types of prayer. Uh-huh. Do you want to talk about some of those?
Sure. The early church practiced a couple different types of prayer. We see a lot of the structure, day-to-day structure of the early church in the Didache, an early book of like a way to live life, almost like a rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
They practiced first, the big one that the early church practiced was the office of prayer. So oftentimes early believers prayed every morning, every afternoon, and every night.
Mm-hmm.
So they would pray prayers in the morning when they woke up. They would pray prayers at around lunchtime, and then they would pray prayers before they went to bed every day. So that's a really big one. Like, examine. It's so easy because we really do. We desire the fruit of what we see, you know, in the epistles.
Yeah.
We're like, man, that's it. And then when you really dig into their lives like this,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like 3 dedicated times a day to pray.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
They fasted 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed 3 times a day. You know, they practiced liturgy. You know, like some Israelites still practice a Shema. Shema wa Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And go through that whole process. That was a big one. They practiced the Lord's Prayer daily. They would pray the Lord's Prayer. Normally that was within the offices of prayer. And so they had all these different ways in which they all, I mean, there's a bunch more. We could be here all day. But there's just all these different ways of they would practice contemplative. A lot of the early church fathers practiced contemplative prayer a lot of silence and solitude, you know, desolate time of the day. And the thing is, when you hear these things, the moment can come up where you almost want to, like, feel shame for where you're at. And I don't think those things should produce shame in us. They should produce in us an evaluation of the things we say out of our mouths that we want and the desires of our heart.
Sure.
And this should be the moment of, do these things align?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, we either need to quit saying we want something, or we need to work on the desires of our heart.
Sure. Yeah. Start putting action to what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, when we talked a couple weeks ago about how we've kind of gotten away from the Imago Dei, the idea of being made in the image of God, which is a big deal, not to us, because that's kind of become normal language. And, you know, science has taken the idea that we're, you know, there's evolution for humanity. So we form from this. We're basically animals. We're ape-like. Not true. But this idea of the Imago Dei, of being made in the image of God, is so that we can commune with the divine.
Right.
Like, what made Pharaoh in antiquity's people such a big deal was that the Pharaoh could actually commune with Atum, the god of Egypt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we are made in the image of God the Most High. And because of that, we have access to commune with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the early people, antiquities people, would see that as the most incredible thing in the world, that we could commune with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And that for us is a passing, fleeting thought.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even the early church would have thought, man, like the God of the Hebrews became a man, flesh, died, and now we get to commune with him whenever we desire through the power of his spirit living deep inside of me. That was transforming in the day.
Yeah.
And that is not transforming now.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is a difficult task for us.
It is.
It's a difficult, hard thing to, oh God, I guess I gotta,
yeah,
you know, oh, I need to.
Right. Well, yeah. And I guess it's finding a way for it to, the switch to flip in our minds to where prayer goes from being like a chore, just like something I got to do, like taking out the trash, you know, like it's important,
sure,
but it's, you know, it's not something I want to do, but sure. I, you know,
right.
How do we go from that to like, oh, I get to wake up
right
and commune with the Father.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a couple things that can help is one, like learn all the different aspects and facets of prayer. And start off with finding something that suits you well.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're a very quiet person.
Yeah.
Silence and solitude, contemplative prayer for you is a great day.
No problem.
But if I ask you to start interceding in tongues out loud, like it's probably not your your best day.
Right.
Find what works for you and also like realize that there just has to be a starting place. Like there's an early church father who talks about the idea of like, my prayer life has been built on 10 minutes, not 10 hours. Sometimes all we can do right now because of TV, movies, social media, whatever you want to call it, our brains, is 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So just set a timer on your phone, put it away so you don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to think about how long it's been. And just give that time.
Yeah,
give yourself in the time that you can now and grow in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody thinks like, well, John Wesley prayed 3 hours a day in the morning, and if I'm not going to do that, it's like I'm just not going to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And that's just not how it works.
Right.
Like you need to be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Christ-like to acquiesce, like live in where you're at in the moment, and start in your place.
Yeah.
And then grow.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like we're way over, like you can do a lot of praying in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed.
Yeah.
You really get thinking.
Yep.
Think of how long 10 minutes is. You can do a lot of prayer. 10 minutes, 5 minutes. You can pray for a lot of things. Imagine if you did that twice a day.
Right.
Every day.
There is, speaking on like contemplative prayer, because that is kind of my sweet spot where I tend to. And so even
nerd.
This morning, I
kidding.
This morning, I was reminded of this quote that I heard, and I just loved it so much. And the thing about like contemplative prayer is, it's easy for your mind to kind of wander and be like, oh shoot, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I was praying. And then 2 minutes later, it's like, I'm praying.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it happens to everyone.
It happens.
I don't go 40 minutes in the complete isolation of the presence of God, you know?
But Rich Velotis, he's a pastor of a church in New York.
Yeah.
I heard him say this, and I think he was on, I think it was John Mark Comer's podcast when he said this. This was a couple years ago. But he said, you know, when people are practicing a contemplative prayer, he said, there's a tendency for people to feel bad for how many times their mind wanders in that, you know? So he said, if you do set aside 10 minutes, your mind might wander 50 times in that 10 minutes. He said, rather than feeling bad and feeling shame for all the times that your mind have wandered, why don't you celebrate the fact that in those 10 minutes, your mind had 50 opportunities to bring its attention back to Christ?
Wow.
And that totally changed the whole tune of contemplative prayer for me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And it's not that I don't want to get more disciplined in that.
No.
It'd be great to go 10 minutes and my mind not wander once. That'd be awesome. But I'm not going to beat myself up if all of a sudden I start thinking about what I've got going on in the day, it's like, oh, wait.
Yeah, well, the lie too, I think, is that as a believer, like you should already have prayer mastered.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Right.
And like, to me, I would rather somebody come to me and want to get coffee and talk about how to craft their prayer life than a lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think too, we don't lean on leadership to say, help me craft a prayer life that works for me.
Sure.
Because that's where you hear those types of things that you're talking about. And someone goes, this is better than I thought. This is easier than I thought. Most people don't know these little things.
Right.
Intricate. And people don't understand, like, people need to be okay to be vulnerable to say, like, I don't really know how to pray.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
It's just not working for me. Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Like as a leader, like that's what I want to do. I want to help you set a roadmap for formation, for prayer, for all these things in your life. Because prayer is hard and prayer is honest. Like I'm honest in prayer.
Yeah.
I'm honest about when I feel disappointed in the Lord, in myself, all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, St. Augustine has this beautiful line. He said that he prayed in his prayer life of, Lord, take away my sexual desires, just not today. That was his prayer, you know? And yeah. It's like sometimes we have to be really honest.
Yeah.
Hey, Lord, like, I don't know this. I don't get this. This is freaking me out. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to you. I don't know if I want to be this or I want to do this or I'm angry at this person. I kind of hate everything right now. Like, it's okay to be honest in prayer. It's okay that prayer makes our mind wander. All these things are okay. The problem is that because we don't have a mastery of it, we don't do it. Mm-hmm. And no one's looking to master prayer.
Right.
People just need to be in the presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different way of thinking about it. And I love that idea of like, hey, these are all moments to go back to Christ.
Right.
To go back to God, to follow the path you took out back in.
Yeah.
And just come back to him.
Yeah. To turn your attention back to him 50 times.
It's a big deal.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes in 5 minutes, it's going to happen 50 times.
Sure.
It's the nature of it.
Yeah.
You get thinking, you're like, Lord, I just thank you. I can't believe I got to pay that bill tomorrow. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What just happened? You know what I mean? Like that's not uncommon to everyone.
Right.
And the problem, the lie is I'm the only person that's having a problem with prayer. That's the lie most people believe.
Right.
I'm the only person that has a problem with prayer. I'm the only person that doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. Or I'm bored with prayer because I've only prayed this way my whole life.
Yeah.
That's the other big problem.
Yeah.
Sure. I've only sat and prayed like this and I've never prayed any other way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm excited. Pray for our church. Pray for your family.
Yeah.
Pray for your kingdom family.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's talk to the community leaders for a minute. And this is for everybody. Everybody that's listening. But specifically, if you're a community leader at BeLoveCo, be thinking about talking to your group about what it looks like to develop a prayer life, to start to identify and just have honest conversations about what does your prayer life look like? Mm. What would you like it to look like? Yeah. And if there's a discrepancy between what you want and what you're actually doing, maybe start coming up with a game plan together.
Right.
Start talking with your leadership about how, like, what can I do practically to get my spiritual prayer life from where it is to where I'd like it to be.
Right. Keep yourselves accountable in community to what you say. And don't be superficial about it.
Yeah.
Be honest with where you're at in prayer. No one's here to hear your Jedi stories. We want to hear the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And create an accountability funnel. And maybe not everyone in your community is accountable to everyone, but someone in your community should be accountable to somebody.
Sure. Yeah. And the thing about being honest with yourself, because I think part of the reason people are ever dishonest towards others is that they're first dishonest with themselves.
Right.
But the thing is that like problems don't get solved when you pretend they don't exist.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think to take that step and just to be honest with where you are, the reality of what your prayer life looks like.
Yes.
And don't like, that's not a shame-based thing. It's just, hey, this is where I'm at.
Yeah. And two, like if you're in a BeLoved community right now, be aware that if you can't be vulnerable in that way, your community may be more social than it is spiritual. And that's something your community needs to hone in on.
Sure.
Like, we'll get deep into the weeds on this week.
Sure.
It's going to be very uncomfortable. I can already tell. You know what I mean? In our community, because we're going to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, honest about where we're at.
Great.
Great.
All right. Good. To everybody listening and watching, thank you. And we love you all. And we'll see you next time.